Can drugs be spiritual? Interesting topic. I received a query via email from a devotee in England with the intriguing subject line, theistic tripping. His email went as follows. After hearing your conversation with Rancho Prabhu and your Westerner Sahajya's lecture, I was reflecting. Rancho Prabhu described his LSD trip as completely God-conscious. I have heard similar testimonies before. Here, come here. Some scientific studies have found that using mind-altering substances like... How do you pronounce that? Ayahuasca, it looks, but it's probably not... Do you know how to pronounce that?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. There's probably something like mescaline.
It's DMT with Banistestropis caapi. Okay. It's mix.
All right. And so he says, all right, Ayahuasca, DMT. I'd never heard of these prior to, but you know very well. We'll have you explain all about this later. Okay, go and sit down.
Yeah.
Okay. Ayahuasca, DMT, LSD I've heard of, magic mushrooms. So... he writes, some scientific studies have found that using mind-altering substances like this and that has benefits like, one, turns many atheists into theists. That sounds good. Two, cures psychological traumas. That sounds good too. Number three, conquers addictions such as smoking. Okay. Four, cures depression. Five, helps terminally ill people accept their future death. Six, awakens compassion in people. Then the email continues, why is breaking the principles leading people towards God, renunciation of addictions, inner peace, etc.? Some will argue that these substances are medicinal when taken responsibly and are not intoxicants. They are different from alcohol, tobacco, etc. Of course, they are not giving instant pure love of Godhead, but it is hard to convince people in general that they are bad when the science is saying otherwise. And he concludes the email by saying, I haven't tried these substances. These substances are medicinal when taken responsibly. drugs are not necessarily bad. Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, before taking to the life of full-time preaching of spiritual life, used to sell drugs, pharmaceuticals. And even alcohol has been mentioned here, but alcohol also has its medicinal use. Excuse me, maybe I need some drugs. Even in Ayurveda there are asavas, the one class of Ayurvedic drug, asava. It's a medicinal kind of wine by natural fermentation. So drugs are not necessarily bad. It's the usage which can be bad. If something cures psychological traumas, such drugs can be used, if it actually works. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada was discussing Sigmund Freud was one of the points discussing was that people have traumas, and then according to Freud, his psychoanalysis will help you to get over traumas. And then Prabhupada just right to the point said, but then you'll get more traumas, because life is one life is one distress after another, so what's the guarantee you won't get more traumas? So real spiritual life, or the real cure, is to come to that condition whereby one will have no more psychological disorders. That could be described, that could be given as one definition of actual spiritual life, when one transcends all material conditions, material, spiritual, the difference between material and spiritual, and comes to a level where there is, one's transcended that which is material. In the Bhagavad Gita, the most basic handbook of actual spiritual life, Lord Krishna states, Indriyani Purani Ahur Indriyebhya Parang Manaha Manasastu Parabuddhe Yobuddhe Paratastu Saha. There is the sensual platform, there is the mental platform, higher than that is the intelligence platform, higher than that is the spiritual platform. So drugs, they can act on the material platform up to the level maybe of intelligence. But the material platform involves us in the material world, which is full of suffering. Therefore, we have to come to the actual spiritual platform. One other thing I can add to the list of purported beneficial qualities of what we're talking about here is not just drugs in general, but particularly psychotropic drugs. They're also said to inspire creativity. The Beatles. She loves you, yeah, yeah. What other songs? Lucy in the Sky. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Some of their songs are said to be Day Tripper. Some of the songs are said to be inspired by LSD. Sorry for all of those of you who are in India and don't know what the hell I'm talking about. This is all very much out of Western culture. To give a little background about it, Aldous Huxley, I mentioned Aldous Huxley. He was a great if you haven't heard of Aldous Huxley, he was one of the most famous and one of the many famous and respected intellectuals in the Anglosphere in the 20th century. He wrote one of the famous books of modern English literature, called Brave New World, one of the two great dystopic novels of the 20th century, the other being Brave New World of George Orwell and Aldous Huxley. He was a proponent of using psychotropic drugs for enhancing creativity. A little summary of the history of psychotropic drugs in the Western world, particularly in the 20th century. LSD, exactly the chemical name I don't remember, it's shortened. LSD was first synthesized in a laboratory in Switzerland in 1938, and some years later its psychotropic effects were discovered, and quantities were sent from a laboratory in Switzerland to America, and serious intellectuals were taking LSD to examine the effects on the consciousness. And Aldous Huxley, who I mentioned, who wrote that book, The Brave New World, he was also seriously interested in spiritual realization. He wrote a book called A Perennial Philosophy. Among one of the many books he wrote, one was called A Perennial Philosophy, in which he speaks about the worldwide phenomenon of mystic experience. His understanding was that the mystic experience, it leads to a sense of unity, of oneness with the universe and everything in it and beyond it. And he also wrote a book called The Doors of Perception, which is a line taken from the writings of William Blake, one of the historical mystics of the Western world, The Doors of Perception, in which he recommended the use of LSD and mescaline, which is also being discovered around that time, magic mushrooms, for opening the doors of perception. Psychotropic drugs, the word psychotropic gives the idea that by taking them, one has certain unusual, extraordinary experiences, and one can start to see the world in different ways and maybe in spiritual ways and so on. So Aldous Huxley, he was an advocate of using this, but in a controlled way, under guidance. Whereas what happened a little later, there was a professor, actually two professors at Harvard University, no less, Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert. They were experimenting with the professors, and they were experimenting with psychotropic drugs for the effect on the consciousness. And they started off doing it quite seriously, and after some time, well, they still considered it serious. They thought, well, this is great. This is a revelation. This is going to change the world. Let's distribute it widely to everyone. And they started doing so. At this time, it wasn't illegal to use these drugs. And they were euphoric about the possibilities of psychotropic drugs changing people's whole outlook on life and making people more spiritual, and this would radically improve the world. And they thought the solution to all the problems of the world, give everyone these drugs, overlooking the fact that many people had what are called bad trips, extremely bad experiences. We're talking about overcoming psychological traumas. These drugs can induce psychological traumas, which is why, I suppose, Aldous Huxley was saying it should be taken very carefully, under guidance, not just that everyone starts taking it willy-nilly, left, right, and center. So a result of the explosion that there was going on, an explosion of these psychotropic drugs usage, the United States government and others followed suit pretty quickly. Governments in the Western world, they made illegal the possession and usage of these drugs, and that was a major factor in the whole hippie scene of the 1960s, beginning in the 1950s with the beatnik scene and Ken Kesey and all these people. They were using these drugs for creativity and spiritual experiences, opening the doors of perception, and it was also part of the hippie scene to be anti-establishment, and the police, the cops, they would be after the hippies, trying to get them and arrest them for, bust them, the word in hippie slang, to get busted for having drugs, including marijuana, which is a different kind of drug altogether, in as much as it's also mind-altering, but not in such a drastic way. It could be a very big topic to discuss, but basically the question coming in here is, can drugs be spiritual? I'm going to give the answer. The word is no. Okay, end of discussion. And many people won't agree with that. I should explain. And even then, many people won't agree with it. But given the query, by the devotee who sent this to me, the query saying there's scientific research which shows it can have all these kind of beneficial effects. Of course, when we say scientific research, we'll find in scientific research on matters which are subjective. It's not like saying you take two bricks and bring another two bricks and you have four bricks. Okay, that's pretty it's pretty undeniable. But when we're talking about states of consciousness, it's harder to quantify. Cure psychological traumas. Well, it's just like Timothy Leary was saying that it can help people overcome criminal states of mind. But then most of the people under Timothy Leary had been criminals in his experience who took these drugs. There was no significant difference between the number of persons who reverted back to criminal life and those who hadn't taken it. So it might have appeared like that. What I'm getting at here is that some scientists may say it has all these beneficial effects, but then other scientists in the same field will deny that. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't investigate very soon. I doubt if it's fully accepted by the whole scientific community that these things can be very helpful. But anyway, it's a valid query, and there are many people up to the present day who swear that drugs give spiritual experiences. So it's a valid query, and let's look into it. I'm going to first read from some anecdotes and exchanges from our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, who brought a genuine spiritual life in the form of the Hare Krishna movement to the Western world, and who came at just when the hippie movement was effloresing, exploding, if you like. He arrived in America in 1965. His movement started to grow in 1966 in New York City. He was moving among and the hippies, nothing like a hippie himself. He changed people from being hippies to happies. And he went in 1967 to San Francisco, which was the capital of hippiedom at the time. And he arrived just after what's that called, the Great Be-In. And it was just starting to explode. And Srila Prabhupada turned hippies into happies. And one of his strict rules was no drugs, no intoxication. No intoxication. Actually, not no drugs. Let's qualify that, because he was not against taking drugs for medicinal use. But taking intoxication for entertainment, recreation, or even for so-called spiritual purposes, Srila Prabhupada was very much opposed to it. So we can imagine that he was there. Somehow or other, he landed among the hippies. That wasn't his plan. He never even heard of hippies and couldn't have even imagined that such beings existed before he left India to go to America. but he found that such people were taking interest in what he had to say more than others, maybe because they were on a spiritual search and drugs were part of that. Or supposedly, in their own estimation, drugs were part of that spiritual search. So naturally, Srila Prabhupada was asked often, and he was challenged by drug-using hippies, that how can you say this isn't spiritual? One of his first followers, Hayagriva, Howard, he asked Srila Prabhupada early on, he asked him, have you ever heard of LSD? And presuming he hadn't, Hayagriva went on to explain, it's a psychedelic. It's a psychedelic drug that comes like a pill, and if you take it, you can get religious ecstasies. Do you think this can help my spiritual life? Srila Prabhupada replied, you don't need to take anything for your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is already here. Because Srila Prabhupada gave a whole program of spiritual upliftment, which included negatives like no drugs, no meat, no illicit sex, which was another shocker for the hippies, no gambling. And for spiritual upliftment, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This mantra, which delivers the mind. Mantra means that which delivers the mind. The Hare Krishna mantra delivers the mind from all delusion, all illusion, and delivers the mind from the misconception that we need drugs to become spiritually uplifted, or the illusion that what we experience on drug-induced states of intoxication is actually spiritual. Now, the commenting on this, the first and foremost biographer, Srila Prabhupada, Satsrup Das Goswami, said, commenting on this exchange, had anyone else said such a thing, Hayagriva would never have agreed with him. Prabhupada saying, you don't need drugs for spiritual life. But because Swamiji seemed so absolutely positive, therefore there is no question of not agreeing. Satsrup Das Goswami himself, in the early states, in the early time of his Krishna consciousness, this is 1966, and most of the young Westerners who came to Srila Prabhupada to be his disciples, to be members of the Hare Krishna movement, had been, or at the time of joining him, were active drug users. So naturally Satsrup had this question, and many had this question. He recalled, I knew Swamiji was in a state of exalted consciousness, and I was hoping that somehow he could teach the process to me. In the privacy of his room, I asked him, is there spiritual advancement that you can make from which you won't fall back? Because the whole thing, you take LSD, or however you take it, and then you get a high, but then you come down, and it's over. So is there spiritual advancement from which you won't fall back? And then Srila Prabhupada's answer, yes. I was convinced that my own attempts to be spiritual on LSD, only to fall down later, could be replaced by a total spiritual life such as Swamiji had. I could see he was convinced, and then I was convinced. Here's someone else, Greg. That must have been later Garga Muni. LSD was like the spiritual drug of the times, and Swamiji was the only one who dared to speak out against it, saying it was nonsense. I think it was the first battle he had to conquer in trying to promote his movement on the Lower East Side. That's the area of New York City where the hippies congregated. Even those who came regularly to the storefront, to Srila Prabhupada's first center of Krishna consciousness in America, even regular comers thought that LSD was good. Probably the most famous experiments with LSD in those days were by Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, and mentioned them before, Harvard psychology instructors who studied the effects of the drug, published their findings in professional journals, and advocated the use of LSD for self-realization and fulfillment. After being fired from Harvard, Timothy Leary went on to become a national priest of LSD, and for some time ran an LSD commune in Millbrook, New York, for some time until the FBI busted him again and again, and they had to dissolve the commune. Anyway, what happened was the members of the Millbrook Commune, these are prototype hippies congregating around Timothy Leary's commune in New York State and taking lots of acid, as it was called, LSD, and having supposedly spiritual experiences. So they heard about this Swami on the LSD who's promoting some kind of chanting that gives you, whoa, some high spiritual experience. And they started to visit the storefront. One night, a group of about 10 hippies from Millbrook came to Swamiji's kirtan, because Swamiji, Prabhupada, would do kirtan, and everyone would be chanting and getting absorbed, and they're trying to, what does it do to your mind, and you, what kind of a high, what kind of a spiritual, they're trying to, many of the people present there would be trying to compare their chanting with their LSD trips. And how does it compare? Or, you know, just like marijuana and LSD, they give different effects. What's the effect of this? Because they equated spiritual experience to a large extent with drug usage. So, all the Millbrook hippies who came that night, they chanted and trying to get a high and see what it's like comparing it with LSD. And after the lecture, one of them asked in the group there with Swamiji. Swamiji had been leading the kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna. They asked about drugs. Prabhupada replied that drugs were not necessary for spiritual life. And please listen to this, what he said. They're not necessary for spiritual life. They could not produce spiritual consciousness. And that all drug-induced religious visions were simply hallucinations. To realize God was not so easy or cheap that one could do it just by taking a pill or smoking. Chanting Hare Krishna, he explained, was a purifying process to uncover one's pure consciousness. Taking drugs would increase the covering and bar one from self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada was very strong. He's saying not only will drugs not help you to become spiritual, realize, but they'll act as an obstacle in that. The Millbrook hippies didn't accept that. Have you ever taken LSD? The challenge came. No, Prabhupada replied. I have never taken any of these things, not even cigarettes or tea. If you haven't taken it, then how can you say what it is? Snapped their fingers. Checkmate. They've got him in a logical bind. Prabhupada's not phased. I have not taken, Swamiji said. But my disciples have taken all these things, LSD, marijuana, and they've given them up. You can hear from them. Hayagriva, you can speak. Hayagriva sat up and spoke in his stentorian voice, loud, authoritative voice. Well, no matter how high you go on LSD, you eventually reach a peak. You take it, and the effect, you go up, and then gradually the effect fades away. And then you have to come back down, just like traveling into outer space in a rocket ship. Your spacecraft can travel very far away from the Earth for thousands of miles day after day, but it can't simply go on traveling. Eventually, you have to come down. On LSD, we can experience going up, but we always have to come down again. That's not spiritual consciousness. When you actually attain spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, you stay high. Because you go to Krishna, you don't have to come down. This is directly from Bhagavad Gita. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyame vangyo veti tatlata tyakva dehang punar janma naiti mameti surjuna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeatedly says that one who goes to him, goes up to him in the spiritual world, doesn't have to come down again to the material world. And Hayagriva concluded his little talk by saying, you can stay high forever. And among the ex-hippies who became Srila Prabhupada's disciples, those three words, stay high forever, became one of their slogans for attracting the hippies who had sometimes good experiences, sometimes very bad experiences, but they were on drugs and thinking we're going on higher consciousness. But then you come down again to the miserable, bummed out world, and the effect of taking drugs, if you think you have a good experience and then you come down and you see, oh, I still got to deal with all my material problems, and say it just makes life off drugs seem worse. How can you stay high forever? Just keep on popping, pop, 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 pop. But here's the process. That doesn't work either. I used to see in central London the junkies walking around. They're walking around and they look like they're dead. They're practically dead while living, and they're just living to shoot up and then die. That's all. They know they're going to die. Everyone knows they're going to die. And they just can't. That's something different. That's heroin. We're not talking about heroin. So you can stay high forever. That was a motto that was adopted for preaching among the hippies by the ex-hippies. And here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita by Satsarup Das Goswami describing the hippies who had come to Krishna consciousness, they were coming to the kirtans. They're just checking out the kirtans. So he wrote, most of these young men and the few young women present, it was mostly coming, men coming, most of them present had at one time or another embarked on the psychedelic voyage in search of a new world of expanded consciousness, boldly and recklessly. Really? Boldly, you can say that, but recklessly, yeah. They had entered the turbulent, forbidden waters of LSD, peyote. Is that how you pronounce it? Peyote?
Peyote.
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 Peyote. Peyote. And magic mushrooms. Heedless of warnings, they had risked everything and done it. Yet there was merit in their valor, Satsarup Das Goswami says. Their eagerness to find the extra dimensions of the self, to get beyond ordinary existence, even if they didn't know what the beyond was or whether they would ever return to the comfort of the ordinary. Yeah, you take the drug, you don't know, you may just go mad. It happens. Nonetheless, whatever truth they had found, they remained unfulfilled. This is an essential point to understand, that people take drugs with the idea of spiritual uplift, but they remain unfulfilled. Now they were sampling the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada had to teach that Krishna consciousness was beyond the revered LSD trip. Note that word. It's very well-chosen word, revered LSD trip. It was considered, among the hippies, taking LSD was considered spiritual. And if someone's on LSD, they're considered to be in a spiritual state. He once asked his storefront audience, Prabhupada asked, do you think taking LSD can produce ecstasy and higher consciousness? Then just imagine a room full of LSD. Krishna consciousness is like that. It's a novel way of preaching. Krishna consciousness is like a room full of LSD. People would regularly come in and ask Swamiji's disciples, do you get high from this? They're always trying to get something new. Something new. Do you get high from this? And the devotees would answer, oh yeah, you can get high just by chanting. Why don't you try it? Okay, so we had a few quotes from the 1960s. Back to discussion of the points in that email, or continuing to discuss. Yeah, many people did, and up to the present day report spiritual epiphanies and experiences from drugs. My godbrother Mathura Prabhu, I recently listened to his extensive series on talks on how he and many others come to Krishna consciousness, and his thesis or theorem or theory is that one of the major influences in preparing people to take to Krishna consciousness in large numbers as they did in the 1960s and 1970s was the psychedelic phenomenon among which the psychedelic experiences were largely induced by psychotropic drugs. And he thinks that that's, and from the social point of view, or social historical point of view, you could say that the field was ripe. People were, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West at that time, by divine serendipity, he arrived at a time when people were looking for consciousness raising, consciousness expanding, that was the word used, consciousness expanding. And then later on, in New Age terminology, the term consciousness raising became quite popular. Consciousness raising, consciousness expanding, it wasn't just the hippies. Aldous Huxley, like I say, a very respected person, and he was famous in his lifetime, a respected intellectual of the Western world. He actually died on LSD. He was dying from cancer, and just as he was fading away from this, he was just literally in his last moments, he had his wife inject him with LSD. So he died on a trip. So he was no hippie. He wasn't some slovenly anti-establishment figure. Sorry to any ex or present hippies who feel insulted by that description. I think it's at least partially correct. Huxley had written that drugs were toxic shortcuts to self-transcendence. Note the word toxic. That in itself is telling, isn't it? Toxic is just the opposite of beneficial. And shortcut, that's also very telling, as if there's a shortcut to transcendence. And self-transcendence, the idea that by yourself you can just come to the transcendental platform. Well, it goes against the whole tradition of serious mysticism, which has been highly developed in the East, especially in India. And if you say Buddhism, widely spread, and even in Western religious and spiritual traditions, it's understood you have to conduct your spiritual life under mentorship, under a guru. The idea of self-transcendence by taking a drug, Aldous Huxley had that idea, but with all due respect to him, his very statement, toxic shortcuts to self-transcendence, every word in that is telling of the shallowness of his understanding and approach to spiritual life. I'm now going to quote Huston Smith, who is highly respected among religious scholars in the Anglosphere. He died not so long ago. He wrote that psychedelic drugs should not be forgotten in relation to religion. Remember, he's a respected spokesman or in the field of religious studies, author, and so on. Should not be forgotten in relation to religion, because the phenomenon of religious awe, A-W-E. Or the encounter with the holy, H-O-L-Y, is declining and religion cannot survive long in its absence. In other words, people are becoming so materialistic and hedonistic that the sense of awe, which is intrinsic to religion, even if people may not be very spiritual, but or very, very much concerned with spiritual uplift, religious people, well, especially we can say the Abrahamic religions, they very much promote a sense of awe in relationship to God, the idea of God the Almighty. So Austin Smith thinks that's essential to religion, the sense of awe. That sense of awe can be produced not only by going to a church, can be produced by religious music, can be produced by, one can become awed and have a religious or spiritual experience by nature, by seeing the might and the power of nature or the beauty of nature. But Huston Smith's point is that the sense of religious awe is declining, so maybe we should think about psychedelic drugs is the word he has used. But another quote from Huston Smith, I believe, the goal of spiritual life is not altered states, but altered traits. Good observation. If we think that spiritual life means that, is that from him? I didn't make it. If we think that spiritual life means you just get some altered consciousness, but we have to see, what is our behavior? What is our attitude to life, to people, to other living beings? Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he asked several times about the state of, how can you recognize a spiritually realized person? Stita pragyasya ka bhasha stithasya. What is that? Stithasya keshava. Stitadi king. Prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. Excuse me. He asked, what is, Arjuna asked, for instance, samadhi stasya keshava. He asked, what is the state of someone who is in samadhi? How can you recognize? What is he like? He's fixed in spiritual wisdom and consciousness. How does he walk? How does he talk? How does he sit? What is it about him? You don't expect him to be an ordinary person. That doesn't mean necessarily he has to fly in the sky. He might do. You can get mystic powers by spiritual life. But really, the spiritual qualities of compassion, kindness, truthfulness, aparigraha, not being greedy to acquire material things, detachment from the world, and not getting upset when things go wrong. Aprashrityat priyang prapya, not getting delighted. Oh, I won the lottery, I got $1 million. And not being upset when something goes wrong. So these are the symptoms of expected of spiritually advanced people, which we'll have to see. You get that by taking drugs. Well, didn't get the hippies clean, did it? That you'd expect it. Of course, spiritually advanced people can be unclean also, but then they'd have to be, they'd either be generally clean or grossly unclean. That's unusual though. Grossly unclean in the sense that they become so detached from the body. Some spiritualists, that they don't, not only do they not bathe, they don't eat also. So if you think by being unclean you'll become spiritual, no. Generally it's a sign of someone who's in very low consciousness. So, going on, Mathura Prabhu and Rancho Prabhu, They, my godbrothers, they mentioned they had experiences on LSD that helped to bring them to Krishna. Mathura, he himself was having a bad trip. And then he heard the devotees chanting, and that brought him out of the bad trip. So that specific introduction to Krishna consciousness that was by getting relief from the bad effects of taking LSD. Later, Mathura found the chanting of Hare Krishna to be better than any drug experience. Out of hundreds of thousands of hippies who took to drugs, very few took very seriously to the serious spiritual discipline which is required if one is going to enter genuine spiritual life. And of course, many people over the ages and up to the present time have taken to serious spiritual discipline without ever taking drugs, without even ever thinking about doing such a thing. Well, when I say many, it's not that many people who do take to serious spiritual discipline, but among the people who do, the great majority historically have not done so by taking drugs. In other words, it's not required. At the least we can say it's not required. Drugs can give some spiritual impetus, maybe, or some insights. But then so can music. If you listen to some music and you feel transported to a different platform, the beauty of nature. There was one Sir Francis Young husband, inspired by Mathura Prabhu's memoirs. He mentioned him. I looked him up. He had some spiritual experience in Tibet, not from associating with the lamas there, but by just being in nature, just being in a big open space. And he had some spiritual experience, which was which changed his outlook on life and his whole assessment of what am I doing with my life. So spiritual experiences can come from the death of a loved one, and let's say a spiritual impetus, and then you start to think, what's going on? How? Why? And then it affects one's consciousness so deeply. Near-death experience, as many instances of people coming to spiritual life or religious life after near-death experiences, when they realized that this body, which I think I am, I'm something different because I left the body and I was fully conscious, but so the body is not me. And then they come back, and many of them took to spiritual life or serious religious life after that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is related about a prostitute called Pingala, who went a whole night scouting out for customers, didn't get any customers all night. And then she started to reflect on her position and her condition and came to the conclusion that nairasham paramam sukham, that disappointment, in her case disappointment because she didn't get any, as a prostitute, she didn't get any customers, can lead to the highest bliss, because it led her to reflect on her eternal spiritual relationship with Lord Krishna. So that there are all kinds of things which can give rise to spiritual experience, spiritual reflection. Drugs may seem to do so more consistently, but it would seem to be that the drug experience, which gives what we may call a spiritual experience, seems to happen more among people, or particularly among people who already have a prior spiritual interest. There was this idea of Timothy Leary and others, let's just give everyone LSD, knowingly or we can just put it in their wine or something, and they don't even know, and let them take it. And the CIA was doing that too, experimenting on the effect of of unknowing American citizens by giving them LSD without their knowledge. But most of the people who took LSD didn't have a quote-unquote spiritual experience because they weren't looking for that. They didn't have that predisposition. Or I would say they didn't have the spiritual. I suspect that they didn't have a purportedly spiritual experience because that's they weren't, their mind wasn't going in that way anyway. In other words, the idea that let's give out lots of spiritual drugs and then everyone will become very spiritual, well, it didn't happen. Most people, thanks to Timothy Leary or the CIA or whatever, CIA or FBI or whatever, they were taking drugs, and they didn't know what was going on, and it was over, and they went off, and they went on with their life as usual. It didn't give rise to widespread spiritual awakening. But even if we accept that taking drugs can be spiritual, it's experimental spiritualism and very dangerous. In Mexico, there's a tradition of guided trips on magic mushrooms. You're guided by a shaman or someone, an experienced drug taker, who guides you through your... And even in among the hippies, they had what they call LSD gurus, someone whose experience would help someone through their first trip or two, just to help them so they don't have a bad trip or whatever. I don't know that much about it. That tradition is missing in the West, and people may experiment and then... Then you try different drugs for different effects, and that can be very dangerous, and you can get into addictive and very harmful stuff like heroin. Cocaine, never taken it myself. Not heroin or cocaine. I must admit, I have long ago, I did take some things. The easy and safe way for spiritual realization: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Guaranteed no bad effects from the chanting. It may be that some people who are chanting are not fully purified and they don't behave properly with you. That's something else. But from the chanting itself, no bad effects. And one can get full spiritual realization, which means to enter the realm of love. We're talking about spiritual, and people are thinking experiences, and you see all different psychedelic things and this and that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that prema pumarto mahan, real, the highest spiritual experience of all is prema, which means love, and specifically Krishna Vishayak prema. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all love. We're talking about spiritual. What do I experience? It's a very self-centered, egoistic thing. But love for Krishna is induced by chanting, or is gifted to us by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. This is real spiritual life. But it's one nirapade nam loile pai premadham. One has to chant without offenses. The technical terms are very important understanding. The attitude in chanting leads to purification. Therefore, we need training in purifying our whole attitude when we're chanting. And part of that training is don't take drugs. They will impede the effect of chanting Hare Krishna. So spiritual life, even non-drug induced states of spiritual consciousness, they can be very dangerous. Kundalini yoga has very irresponsibly has been publicized widely in the Western world as if it's something you can pick up a book and do it. It's very, very dangerous. What we're talking about is opening up the consciousness by yogic methods to various levels of astral experience and beings, and it can be very, very dangerous. Apart from that, spiritual life, or what we think is spiritual life, can be very dangerous also. We get in contact with some cheater who exploits us, sexual exploitation in the name of religion and spiritual life, unfortunately, is not uncommon. And just people misleading others, taking their money away and using it for their own in personal material enjoyment. These are pitfalls or possible dangers when we take to spiritual life. So spiritual life can also be dangerous. We should take to spiritual, or it may be just that the teacher is incompetent. That's all. He's trying to teach at a level beyond his capability. So there are so many pitfalls everywhere. But the idea that drugs can be spiritual, I'm making a case for this, is also a pitfall. So yes, we should take to spiritual life. Yes, 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 we should take to spiritual life. Life without spiritual life it's just like a walking zombie, but we should do so carefully. Even if under guidance, under competent guidance, even I was talking about these Mexican shamans, they guide you, but where do they guide you? What do they know about actual spiritual life? These kind of experiences that you get from taking magic mushrooms, where does it take you? It takes you onto the astral platform. And people don't understand what actual spiritual life is. They come in contact with spiritual what they take to be spiritual. Spiritual means disembodied. But they're also material. These so-called spiritual beings, they're also material, but they're on a subtle platform of consciousness that we can't normally access except by yogic methods, or if you want to do it quickly and cheaply, take a drug. But it doesn't help us to come to the actual spiritual platform. That's another illusion, thinking that because we came to an altered state of consciousness, it's so different to what I'm used to, it must be spiritual. That is a great mistake and a great misunderstanding. Without proper knowledge of what is spiritual life, everything that goes on in the name of spiritual, it's material. Or even if it's accepted that drugs can give us spiritual impetus, give us some spiritual experience, well, we should move on from that to something which can actually help us to, first of all, we should get knowledge of what the actual goal is, and then take to a process, a traditional, time-tested process authorized by scriptures coming from the spiritual platform, coming from beyond the material platform. Not that some experimenter finds out something and then starts teaching you, but he himself is not self-realized. So the knowledge has to come from beyond the material plane. Follow that under guidance. So these people who we were talking about, these people in Rancho Prabhu was talking about these people in Glastonbury area in Western England who they chant Hare Krishna and take drugs. If they were seriously spiritual, they should have graduated from that and understood that these drugs, they're not helping me. They can at best give me some idea, but if I'm going to go on and really advance spiritually, I have to give up all these things. If you just go on taking it, that's just some kind of personal gratification. That's not spiritual searching. Okay, all right, you get some idea. There's something spiritual. But then you have to go on beyond. If you just keep blah, 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 taking drugs again and again and again, where's the spiritual search? It's just it's similar to taking alcohol to get drunk. It's an altered state of consciousness, which you think is nice. Okay, I'm going to read again from an exchange that Srila Prabhupada had, another one. This is with Allen Ginsberg, who in the hippie era, first of all, actually in the beatnik era, then the hippie era, he was a big shot, something like a guru, you could say, among the hippies, who was promoting things like LSD and homosex and all kinds of things which were considered outrageous at the time among the establishment people of the Western world, in which the hippies were interested. You know, most hippies weren't into homosex, but they're definitely into drugs. So Allen Ginsberg, speaking to Srila Prabhupada, Allen Ginsberg said, "Do you remember a man named Richard Alpert? He used to work with Timothy Leary in Harvard many years ago, and then he went to India and found a teacher, a guru, and is now a disciple of Hanumanji, or a devotee of Hanuman." And the Indian people will know who Hanuman is, and the Western people won't. Google. "We were talking about Maya and the present condition of America. He said that his teacher in India told him that LSD was a Christ of the Kali Yuga for Westerners." Yeah, this is supposed to be an Indian guru. "LSD is a Christ of the Kali Yuga for Westerners. As the Kali Yuga got more intense, as attachment got thicker and thicker, that also salvation would have to be easier and easier. The condition of the world is getting more and more materialistic, so we need an easier, as the materialism becomes more intense, we need an easier process of self-realization." Prabhupada agreed. To some extent, listen to Srila Prabhupada's reply. "In the Kali Yuga, salvation is very easy. That is the version of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that process is this kirtan, this chanting of Hare Krishna, not LSD." Ginsberg. "The reasoning there was that for those who would only accept salvation in purely material form, in chemical form finally, and completely material form, that Krishna had the humor to emerge as a pill." Prabhupada, sharp as a tack. "When it is material form, then where is salvation? Salvation means to come to the spiritual platform." So Prabhupada said, "When there is material form, then where is salvation? It is illusion. It is illusory salvation," Prabhupada saying. Ginsberg, going on, not really listening, "The subjective effect is to cut attachment," and Prabhupada cut him out. "If you've got attachments for something material, then where is the cutoff of attachment? LSD is a material chemical." Ginsberg, yeah. So Prabhupada said, "So if you have to take shelter of LSD, then you take help from matter. How are you free from matter?" "Well, the subjective experience." You see, Ginsberg is equating, this is the great mistake, equating subjective experience for spirituality. It's a very common mistake. "The subject experience," Ginsberg says, "while in the state of intoxication of LSD, also realizing that LSD is a material pill and it does not really matter." So he's saying it doesn't really matter how you get it, as long as you get it. You know LSD is material, but you're getting a spiritual experience. That's what he's saying. Prabhupada said, "That is risky. That is risky," Srila Prabhupada said. Ginsberg, yeah. "Now, if LSD is a material attachment," which it is, I think. Okay, he agreed. "Then is not the sound, shabda, also a material attachment?" So Ginsberg, he's also a sharp guy. He says that, "Well, chanting Hare Krishna, that's a sound, that's also a material." Prabhupada, no, shabda is spiritual. The spiritual sound, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not a material sound. Golokera prema dhana harinama sankirtana. This spiritual chanting, this chanting of Hare Krishna, comes from the spiritual world. And you may say, ah, that's just your Hare Krishna dogma. But just consider, by this chanting, dino hino joto chilo, hariname udharilo, people who were addicted to all kinds of sinful activities have been uplifted to the spiritual platform by this chanting. So there's evidence for that. Tar shaki jagai madhai. Here's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. One should reject all material processes of elevation, which are like the mental creations of a dream. Isn't it? This psychedelic experience from psychotropic drugs, it's like something like a wild dream, but you're not dreaming. So Bhagavatam says, Bhagavatam covers everything. Everything you need to know about spiritual life, real spiritual life. One should reject all material processes of elevation, which are like the mental creations of a dream, and should completely absorb one's mind in me, Krishna says. By constantly thinking of me, one becomes purified. So by Krishna consciousness, one becomes purified. That means the mind becomes manovya sangam, the mental attachments of the mind to everything material becomes cut by absorption in thoughts of Krishna. Desires for enjoying via the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the skin, the mind, they become nullified by being absorbed in Krishna. And pure thoughts of pure love for Krishna and naturally pure love for all living beings arise within the heart. So it's facile to think that drugs can instantly give the same enlightenment that it is pursued gradually by discipline, austerity. There are professors of spiritual science long before Harvard professors Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert who have given the process of spiritual life, but there's discipline, there's austerity. Even before discipline and austerity, there's yama, niyama, just basic moral principles of how to live in this world. Asteyam, not taking other people's things, just like we see in the Bible, or the one should not covet someone else's property or someone else's wife. To talk about spiritual enlightenment and then you're trying to scrounge up some money by selling drugs or get so you can take drugs, that's not spiritual. There should be purification of consciousness. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavang mang prapadyate. After many, many lifetimes of following a spiritual discipline, someone may come to this point of understanding, of spiritual inquiry. One can come to the understanding Krishna is all in all. And then surrender to him. Give oneself to him. So we say, well, what are we talking about? India, yeah, this is Indian culture. Yeah, this is the spiritual culture. India has a highly developed spiritual culture. Just like in the West now, there's a highly developed material culture. So in India, there was traditionally has been a highly developed spiritual culture. Actually, there's a highly developed material culture also, which is why the British, the French, the Portuguese, the Dutch were all anxiously falling over each other to come to India and loot the place. That's another discussion altogether. But India has a highly developed spiritual consciousness, spiritual culture of discipline, austerity, and spiritual techniques to raise the consciousness. The West is now experimenting that with but you may say, well, what about, there are ganja babas in India also, right? And they get high. Where the hippies got the idea of long hair and be dirty and smoke chillums. They got it from the Ganja Babas in Rishikesh. And, it's true. Everything's there in India. Traditionally, it's not that India, we say India's spiritual culture. There's the most highly developed material culture also. The Kama Sutras also come from India, which teach how to have the highest sexual enjoyment in various ways, sophisticated ways. So everything's there in India. It's not that everything from India is highly elevated and smoking chillums and ganja and all that. These words came from India, came to the West. But because it's in India and because these people who float in clouds of hashish smoke think they're being spiritual, and many other people may think they're spiritual, doesn't necessarily mean that it's spiritual. The real high spiritual culture is Atato Brahma Jignyasa, inquire into the nature of spirituality, Vedanta tradition, yoga tradition, Yoga Anushasanam, there's the Yoga Sutras, beginning this way. Now we shall discuss yoga, or Anushasanam can also mean discipline. Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Yoga means to stop the proclivities of the mind, which specifically, well, anyway, it means that it's not such an easy thing to stop the proclivities of the mind. So, Ganja Babas, all these Mexican shamans also, it's spiritual. Yeah, if you don't know what spiritual life is, or if you take spiritual life to be something that you can get so quickly and cheaply, and these, yeah, ganja, they say it aids meditation and this and that. But again, east or west, you can smoke ganja all your life, and there are people who do that, but it won't in and of itself lift you to the spiritual platform. And to get Brahma Vidya, which means it's spiritual knowledge, it really means spiritual realization. It's more than knowledge. That smoking ganja is not going to raise you to that. Real spiritual life means Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya means, the generally accepted meaning of the term is detachment from everything that is material. Or an insider's understanding is to be highly attached to the spiritual reality who is Krishna. So Vairagya Vidya. One should cultivate detachment from this world and knowledge of what? Knowledge of the difference, discrimination, vivek. Shankaracharya's vivek, churamani, in the Advaita, Vedanta tradition, this point of vivek is very important, to always discriminate between what is material, what is lower, and spiritual, what is higher. And in such a tradition, taking drugs and all these things, that is always considered lower. The headquarters of the Advaita Sampradaya in North India is at Varanasi, which is also a place where the Baba's hanging out and smoking. Varanasi is like a microcosm of everything extreme in India. Anyway, let's not talk about that. It's easy to go off on tangents. So the hippies, they imitated the Ganja Babas, which is low-level spirituality, if it's spirituality at all. They imitated that. But even the Ganja Babas, the kind of austerities they can do. Hippies also, sex. They take drugs, spiritual. They're thinking themselves spiritual. Then they have sex. But in the real religion or mystic traditions all over the world, it's understood either no sex or controlled sex, only as a duty for procreation of children. In other words, any kind of material enjoyment is going to block our spiritual advancement. And sex is a big, and so is drugs. It's a big, big euphoric experience. It gets pretty boring. But there's some idea that there's some kind of euphoria there. That material high is to be rejected if we're going to purify the consciousness and come to the spiritual high. This will be contentious, what I'm saying. Now, many will say, well, we do have spiritual experiences on drugs. You can say whatever you like, just like the Ginsberg was talking about, the subjective experience. So it comes down to a definition of what is spiritual. What is spiritual? It's true, drugs may bring us to a very different state of consciousness, but is it truly spiritual? Real spiritual life begins with knowing what is spiritual. What is the difference between spirit and matter? That makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to be you want to be a doctor, you have to have some idea, you have some clear idea of what the study of medicine is all about. If you want to be a software engineer, you have to have some basic understanding. I want to become a software engineer, and therefore I'm going to enroll in the dentistry college. Oh, wait a minute, you got something wrong. It's like going to the vegetable market and saying, I want a 3-pin plug and socket. You're in the wrong place. You have to know where to go. You have to have some clear understanding, some initial clear understanding of what you want. So in spiritual life, you have to have actual spiritual knowledge. This is a long talk. Don't expect that just drop a drug and you got all your problems solved. You can do that if you like, and then don't listen to this. So real spiritual life begins with knowledge of what is spirit. And without that, it's meaningless to talk about spiritual. Just like I can use some big words. Trying to think of something. I can talk about problems in higher mathematics, but I don't even know how to do. On the tip of my tongue, I'm struggling to remember calculus. I did when I was a kid at school. I forgot. I don't even know how to do basic, maybe some basic algebra, trigonometry. I don't even remember what a cosine is. So if I'm going to, I can bluff and tell you that I don't remember what a cosine is. It's something to do with the triangles and angles and something like that. I could bluff and talk about problems in higher mathematics and look up something and say a few words, but I would be exposed by a competent mathematician, or even maybe a beginner, a serious student of mathematics. So we can talk about drugs and subjective experiences, but the fact that there's training in spiritual life means that it's not just subjective. There are processes. It's objective also. There are people who can help us. The Bhagavad Gita begins with distinguishing matter from spirit. That matter is vinashi. It is destructible. That's the first basic thing to understand. Matter is everything destructible. Everything which undergoes change is material. Avinashi, that which is non-changeable, that is spirit. So spiritual, the cultivation of spiritual life should bring us to a platform in which there is no more coming down. We remain at a high state of consciousness, and of course we can keep on going up further and further because spiritual is unlimited. But material means there's a beginning and an end. The body has a beginning, it has an end. Spirit is eternal. A drug trip has a beginning and an end. It's material. Simple definition. See, it is not such a difficult thing to understand all these things. Without understanding these basic things, whatever we can consider to be spiritual, including drug experiences, can be called at best a reflection of actual spirituality. In this regard, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, instructing, Ritertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani, yat vidyad atmano mayam yatabhaso yatatamaham. Yeah. The meaning is that whatever is conceived of as being real, which is not understood to be in relation to Krishna, not seeing things in relationship to Krishna, it's illusory, like a reflection, a flash in the darkness. That's all. So getting this spiritual knowledge and realization, it's not such a cheap thing that you take a drug. The person must be very serious to understand the truth, to get this knowledge, must be prepared to do whatever is required, which means giving up all forms of sense gratification. The mind has to be freed of all attachments, passions, desires related to this material world. Otherwise, there's no question of coming to the spiritual platform. Shankaracharya, in the modern age, we're talking in terms of cosmic history, Shankaracharya goes back about 12 years, so we can say the modern age. His preconditions, what he requires for the attainment of Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. First thing, Vivek, distinction between reality and illusion, distinguishing between that which is eternal and that which is temporal. Distinguishing between Brahman, the spiritual reality, and Maya, the illusion. Shankara also requires renunciation of all worldly pleasure. Renunciation of all worldly pleasure. It's not a small thing. Self-discipline. Peaceful mind. Sadacha. Blameless life. Living a pure life. And a strong desire for moksha, strong desire for release from material life. These are preconditions. Renunciation. Shankara actually requires renunciation of the world and becoming free from all material desires as a precondition for attaining ultimate freedom. So he requires you already to be quite way along the path before you can even enter into his classroom. It's not an easy college to get into, the real college of Shankara, Advaita. There's much imitation of it in the modern age, and many people may think they're Advaitins or they're New Age, but Shankara's classroom, it's only for very qualified students. Ramanuja, he is a Vashishtadvaiti. Again, Vishishtadvaiti. Those who are in India might know, although in India today people know the names of film stars and all kinds of foolish people, not the names of the really important people. Ramanuja, he requires surrender. Prapanna. Unconditional surrender to Vishnu. So it's not a small thing. There are various schools, Vedanta schools, Advaita school, Vaishnava school within the Vedanta tradition, the yoga schools, but none of them are cheap. Hayagriva said, this is going back to 1968, in a press interview, when journalists were asking Srila Prabhupada and his disciples about, well, what about drugs and spirituality? Hayagriva said, there is no easy way. A lot of the young people now are taking LSD to get there easy. By a $5 trip, they can get to God. Sarcasm. This hasn't proved itself to be really the case. A lot of it is just a $5 trip to the insane asylum for many. $5, pretty, that was a lot of money in those days. $5 for an LSD trip. And then you get a trip to the insane asylum. Hayagriva's pointing out, it's not so easy. Now, it might seem that when you take drugs, it's such a, whoa, it's such a high, and it's so different, and it's the effect is so monumental that you want, you come down and say, hey, I got to try that again. But then you have to go take more and more and more, and you're chasing after, it's like the surfers, they're always trying, the surfing on the ocean waves, they're always looking for that ultimate wave, so that you're looking for that. I want to get the ultimate high, but the ultimate high is always followed by a low. And then it becomes, you take again, again and again, and it becomes a routine, not a search. It's just something, okay, you feel like, okay, let's take it. In that talk with Rancho Prabhu, I was talking, I said that something is better than nothing, and someone made the very apt comment that nothing is better than nonsense. It's not, don't do anything. It's just like you may say, well, the child is making a lot of noise, stick him in the corner, make him get quiet. You want him to talk, yes, teacher, very good, give all the answers, but instead he's just making a nuisance. So instead of talking the right thing, if he just says nothing, that's better than him causing a disturbance in the class. So that's one perspective also. Nothing is better than nonsense. Valid observation. Different perspectives. People, if people are trying for spiritual life, they may get misdirected into taking drugs. Or if they're chanting Hare Krishna somehow or other, you could be said it's better than nothing. But in another way, it can be misleading also, because people think you chant Hare Krishna and take drugs, and then if they're serious about spiritual life, they say, well, I don't chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna means taking drugs. In the beginning of his ministration to the hippies, in San Francisco, practically the beginning was Srila Prabhupada, he came to a big event. It was one of the big events of hippiedom, a concert in the Avalon Ballroom with all big drug-inspired groups from the West Coast scene. Prabhupada appeared there. And there was a whole ballroom, Avalon Ballroom, full of hippies. I think there were 2,000 people there, and they were all stoned, they were all high, and Prabhupada got them to chant Hare Krishna. And one of the persons present there later became one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Jagat Purush Prabhu, and he described how they were in this, the whole hall was filled with hashish haze, and everyone was stoned. Pretty much everyone was stoned. But he experienced a spiritual high, and he got the impression that everyone there experienced a spiritual high from chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was such a powerful spiritual personality, compassionate spiritual personality, that by his influence, people had a tremendous spiritual experience from chanting Hare Krishna, even if they were on drugs. At that time, Srila Prabhupada didn't tell anyone, don't take drugs. He just encouraged them to chant Hare Krishna. But later, he made it clear. When people started coming to him regularly, and it's not just fun, let's just check it out, but they started hearing the philosophy of spiritual life that he taught, and then he would tell them clearly, no drugs. And they want to be his disciple, no drugs. Very clear. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, including tea and coffee. Drugs? Yeah. You have a headache? You can take an aspirin. It's a drug. Allowed. Maybe if you go for an operation, they may inject you with morphine. It could be allowed under certain circumstances for medicinal purposes, not for recreational or quasi-spiritual purposes. So let's be clear, let's separate the wheat from the chaff. As is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Dhanya Rashimape Joiche, Patna Shohite Paschate Patna Uraya Shanskar Korite. When we separate the real thing, from, we can understand what's what. Just like this is an example which previously people all over the world understood, and now probably many people in the world don't understand. I understand it from having spent years in Bengali villages, and we used to see the women have the what's called in English the winnowing basket, in which you have rice grains, which is covered by the chaff. And you may not even know what the word chaff, the husk. You can go and look it up if you like, the hard covering. So you go, and what happens, you slightly going like this, and then all the grains which are covered by the chaff, the chaff separates, and then it blows away because it's very light, and you're left with the grains which are suitable for cooking. So when the husk settles, you can get a pile of husk, and it looks from the outside like an unhusked grain. But then you just touch it, and you can see that it's empty. There's the substance which we need, the rice we need to eat, or the wheat that we need to eat, the chaff is given to the animals, cows and so on. The substance that we need to separate the substance from the outer covering. The outer covering, if we're inexperienced, it might look like the real thing, but no, it's not. We need to distinguish. The LSD takers of Glastonbury who chant Hare Krishna, we can say very clearly they're not serious. They're not serious spiritualists. They're not, as Rancha Prabhu said, they like to come and chant with me, but then when I start to talk philosophy, they all go away very quickly. They're not interested in proper understanding or spiritual discipline. They want cheap spirituality. And therefore we can understand that their LSD taking, they may say it's spiritual, they may say it's spiritual, but there's no genuine spiritual motive. They're not interested to listen to spiritual philosophy. They're not interested to undertake the basic spiritual discipline and austerity. No one ever became self-realized by taking drugs. No one ever. Maybe it can give the idea that there is something spiritual, but it cannot deliver it. You have to go on from there. And again, you don't need drugs to get the idea there is something spiritual. The best way is to hear from people like me, who have been trained by a genuine, spiritually realized person in an ancient tradition and can give you the knowledge. But very few people are actually so serious to do this. Aldous Huxley, he was quite serious about spiritual realization, but his dabbling in LSD, although it gave him open the doors of perception, but he didn't become self-realized. he talked about it, and you may say he was serious about it in some ways, but he didn't exhibit the symptoms of a purely self-realized person. One of them would be that he would stop taking LSD. But he died taking LSD. I'm going to quote from the Bible. Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So people may say, listen to all that. I have to take drugs. It's spiritual. I know. I'm sure. I experience it. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, If such a respectable devotee as Rancho Prabhu describes his LSD trip as completely God conscious, there must be something in it, you could say. Okay, if we accept it as at some level spiritual, for the sake of argument, let's accept it as spiritual. It might, you see, when someone's, they don't have any experience, at his stage, at that time, for him, it was a revelation. when someone's been given just very plain food for years, maybe they're in a prison or something, and they're just given very plain food, when you give something with a little few grains of sugar, it tastes wonderful, but then they could go on later when they're freed and take all kinds of wonderful food preparations. But in the beginning, if you don't know, then even something very small can seem like something, oh, so wonderful, so nice. So in the notably, Rancho Prabhu, after that LSD trip he had in which he was completely God-conscious, he relapsed for some time into mundane life. And then when he took to Krishna consciousness, he completely gave up taking LSD. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, Brahmanando bhaved esha chet parada guni kritaha naiti bhakti sukham budhe paramanu tulam api. Now this is talking about the actual spiritual bliss which comes from the kind of impersonal realization that Shankaracharya points toward, that Aldous Huxley had an idea about. We're going to talk about that and how even that is much inferior to the spiritual high of Krishna consciousness. This verse, the Sanskrit which I just read, if Brahmananda, the transcendental bliss derived from understanding impersonal Brahman, were multiplied a million times, such a quantity of Brahmananda could not compare with even an atomic portion of the pleasure relished in pure devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of spiritual bliss, of transcendental loving relationships in service to Krishna. It's available in English as a medium-sized book. It's called The Nectar of Devotion. You want spiritual life, real nectar, get the nectar of devotion and read that. That'll help you tremendously. Now, we could say, I'm not contradicting Rancho Prabhu. At that time he felt to be a spiritual, genuine God consciousness. But it's something like this. When Srila Prabhupada was just beginning his ministration of Krishna consciousness in New York City, he was in a very bad area. He was giving a spiritual talk, and a bum came in. And bum in New York or American slang means a guy who's an alcoholic, down and out, dirty, out of his mind. So a bum waddled in and muttered something. These people, their mind is mostly long gone on meths. They can't afford ethyl alcohol. They take meths. So he bumbled in and put down some rolls of toilet paper and bumbled out again. He donated some toilet paper, which isn't useful to Srila Prabhupada because as a civilized person, he doesn't use toilet paper. Washes with water after passing and then bathes. That's civilized. But Prabhupada, so he has begun his spiritual life in this crazed situation caused by permanently crazed situation caused by intoxication at a very low level of consciousness. Knowingly or unknowingly, he has done some service to the Swami. It's a service which is no use to him practically, but he has begun his spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada also, quoting the from Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsu, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So Srila Prabhupada would say that if someone who drinks wine, he's addicted to drinking wine, a wino, but he thinks, oh, I like wine very much. This taste is Krishna. If he connects that with Krishna, that is the beginning of his spiritual life. And Prabhupada says, if he continues to think like this, then ultimately he will become a very great devotee. I remember one devotee, he is 1970s, a German devotee. He was really bewildered by the, oh, by drinking wine you become a great devotee. Not by drinking wine, it's a long way from perfection. But the attitude of thinking about, if you cultivate the habit of thinking about Krishna, somehow or other, that can help bring one to Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, if someone is unknowing what is actual spiritual life, and they take some drugs, and for them, that's a beginning. It seems so spiritual. It's again someone he hasn't been given sweet preparations to eat for years, just plain bread and water diet, and then he's given a few grains of sugar, and it's like heaven to him. But he doesn't know. He's lost the remembrance of what it is to have the taste of so many fabulous preparations. Now, it might seem that chanting Hare Krishna, you don't get so much effect. You don't get all these things that you get from taking drugs. And although this is the greatest mysticism, the greatest magical mantra, it may take... some people have an immediate effect in chanting, and others, it takes some time. But if one can have faith to do so, and especially if one follows these regulative principles, including not taking drugs, then the ecstasy of divine intoxication gradually grows imperceptibly into extraordinary transcendental experiences. What about that at the beginning I was saying, creativity? By taking drugs, the psychedelic art came out of taking psychotropic drugs. What about, isn't it good for creativity? Maybe it is. But what's the use of such creativity? What's the use of making songs like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? Instead of talking nonsense, which means matters not related to our ultimate need and our ultimate benefit, which is to know what is spiritual and what isn't, and ultimately to know Krishna, if we talk about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, or we talk about what is the latest condition of the Prime Minister who's got coronavirus, or whatever, it's just another phase of materialism, that's all. Creativity, what is the use of artistic creativity? It's just another diversion from seeking reality. So, in conclusion, if you're not completely, well, I guess you're not completely bored if you're still listening to this, or you may just fast wind through to the end to see what's going on. Okay, conclusion. Drugs can be considered in a marginal way spiritual if you stretch the meaning of what is meant by spiritual, but actually drug taking obstructs real spiritual understanding. It's one of the four regulated principles that Srila Prabhupada gave. Don't take drugs. No intoxication. Drugs, it's just another kind of illusory confusion. It's definitely not for people who have taken seriously to Krishna consciousness. And those who have taken initiation vows, They vow no intoxication. To take drugs for them is definitely not going to help them come up. It's a downfall. And for those who haven't, drugs are not at all recommended. Follow a genuine spiritual life. If you're genuinely serious about spiritual life, if not, do any damn thing you like. It's up to you. I'm sitting here, what can I say? I'm just trying to give some relevant advice. Now, this has been quite a long talk, no doubt. But you know what, folks? There's more to come. And if you want an entertaining insight into someone who's had massive experience with drugs and has now given them all up, and definitely is going to be more perky than myself. Mahananda, come. This is a man who, well...
Oh.
Just make sure your brain's in order.
I'm here.
And it's in order, right? You're chanting Hare Krishna. Okay,
yes.
Good. You're not taking drugs. No, I know.
Not today.
I know.
No, I don't take drugs.
Okay, okay. Tell them all about it. Keep them on. We've got to keep them on before they all run away and said, I had enough of all of this. Okay, speak away. You're on.
Okay.
You can come.
So, I use almost, I try almost all intoxication which we have in this planet. LSD, DMT, ayahuasca, salvia, and it's like 1 hour if I tell every old name. And I was shamanic initiation before, so even now I top one in Google in Russian, like a shaman healer. So, and what can I tell you? These shamans who give you ayahuasca or mescaline or any type of DMT or mix, they tell you it's a spiritual. But actually it's not like this, because first, it's someday it will finish. It's first. Doesn't matter how much you drink. I drink a lot. You cannot even imagine. So, but some days it's just finished and you think, I am so cool. I know everything about everything. But then you wake up in some toilet somewhere and who are you? You are nobody. So, first problem is it cannot be forever. Second, they take money from this. So, they don't give you real experience. They just want your money and you can check. This shaman come little by little. They just selling your drugs or some any medicine and just take money. That's all. Finish. If you don't give money, you don't take this experience. So, what is this what is use of this experience if you have to pay? Second is if you from the karma, you see, you have bad karma and good karma, and you can spend good karma and you can work hard and reduce your bad karma. And when you get intoxication, you spend all of your good karma. Like you use ayahuasca, you think amazing, you spend all of your karma, good karma. And then you wake up in hell or something bad situation. Doesn't matter how much you take, when you wake up, you in worse, how to call it, more bad situation than before you take it. So what is use of this? I take a lot and someday I wake up in hell. So it's really hell. Like I lose everything and I give everything for someone for I don't know even the reason. So it's just stupid things you are doing. If you think something what you can do is something amazing, after some time you understand it's nothing about amazing.
Hey, tell them how you came off it also and started to chant Hare Krishna. Briefly.
Before I trying the drugs, of course, I try ayahuasca, I have initiation, shamanic initiation, and how it happened. I don't chant anything, I chant Om, and in some moment, I think I'm God, because if you drink a lot of ayahuasca, of course you think you are God, it's 100%, because you feel everything infinity, and you feel everyone in one moment, but after some time of, I see something more higher than me, in hallucination, of course, but it's not me, and something higher, and I just ask, what is this, why it's so high, who are you, and after some time, I wake up in some Vedic festival, because you know, when you're using drugs, you don't understand where you are, and why you're going, I don't know how I come, this Veda life. And one person come to me and tell, please come to temple. I think, what temple? Okay, I will come. And then, when I want to use drugs, every time, I forgot about this, Prabhu, he just saved my number. Every time when I want to use mushroom or LSD or something, before 5 minutes before I start, one devotee call me and think, please come today. And again, after some time, I try again to take drugs. And 5 minutes before, again, this devotee call, please come to temple. And what is this? One, two, three, four. It was many time. And I think, who is this? What is this temple? So, and then I come to this temple to see, of course, I think in drugs before this. And in this temple, it worked different than outside. So, and step by step, I start chant Hare Krishna and find these benefits. And I stop using the drugs, stop using ayahuasca, stop using LSD, mescaline and everything, and start chanting. And now I can use it for all of my life. For example, if you use LSD, but someday you wake up another planet or prison or somewhere, it can happen, or medical or some hospital, you cannot use, so finish. You're nobody. Without your drugs, you are nobody, even if you think you are God. But if you chant Hare Krishna, you can chant in the hell, you can chant in the heaven, you can chant inside hospital, prison, doesn't matter where this system of Maya put you. You can chant. It means it's absolutely knowledge, because you can use everywhere and every time. But drugs you cannot use every time and everywhere, because you have to buy it and find it. But it's illegal. So it's no benefit for use it. So Hare Krishna, I don't know what can I tell more. Sorry.